Peace, God.
Peace to the God.
How you, God?
I'm studying 120 right now. Call me back at the God hour.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Oh, hello.
How you doing, Jerry?
Happy New Year.
Hey,
we're having a
go Tigers.
Go Tigers.
Did you see that catch by Judy?
Judy,
yeah.
We were just talking Judy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Future G-Men. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
So, guys,
it's
what's up?
New year, new decade. Where do we start? Should we start with our sad, pathetic football franchise?
First of all, this has to be the worst decade for New York sports of all time. Has to be.
You know what?
Has to be, right?
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Yankees weren't in the World Series.
The Giants won the championship. That's it.
Yeah,
Giants won in 2012, but...
Right, Giants won the beginning of it. Mets were in one World Series. The Knicks, we obviously... I mean, you know, the Knicks did have a 54-win season, but Jets didn't make the... Well, they made the playoffs, the first year of the decade.
Yeah, first year.
No Islanders,
Rangers,
no Rangers.
Rangers made the Stanley Cup, but lost.
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, Mets won. Mets got there, lost. So, just one title. That's it.
One title for the biggest city in the world. One title. Pretty pathetic. And
disaster.
It's not looking good for, you know, the 2020s right now. But, you know, things can change really, really quick. You know, let's start with the G-Men.
I don't know. I disagree with you. I think things are going to be on the up and up. Because if you look at it, Jets and Giants have hopefully young quarterbacks with really good potential. The Knicks, I don't know, the Knicks are screwed. I hope.
Yeah.
I don't know what to think about them.
Yeah.
But the Yankees got to be the favorite going into next year, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
With the Garrett Cole signing. It's World Series or bust now, yeah.
Yeah, and the Islanders are kicking ass, and the Rangers are still young. So, I don't know. Maybe this will be a better decade.
Yeah. I mean, Jets and Giants both have their quarterbacks. That's for sure. The head coaches, obviously Giants are in a coaching search now. Jets, you know, Gase will probably, I don't know. He'll get another year, but it's not looking good for
crap. I just got breaking news. It looks like David Stern passed away. Oh, shit. Wow. I forgot about that because it's been very quiet. You haven't heard anything. So I thought that was kind of a bad sign when you don't hear anything.
Wow. Yeah, that's...
Damn.
Same thing.
How old is he? 70s?
77.
And he was he was the commissioner, how long ago? 5 years?
Yeah, not too long ago.
Pretty recent. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe a little longer. The thing is, I saw an interview with him before he collapsed. It was maybe a couple days or even a couple weeks. He looked fine. He looked good, you know? He sounded good. It wasn't you didn't look at him and think, oh, crap, he's really old. I think he just had a bad, I guess they're saying brain aneurysm or stroke.
That's scary. It's crazy.
Damn. Well... how old was he? I mean, regardless, it's not good. He was probably in the 70s, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, may you rest in peace.
Let's move on.
Yeah, got a little awkward there. Yeah, I'm going to look up his age now. Yeah, he was 77, yeah. Damn. It's too bad. It's too bad. All right, let's go back to another David, David computer folks, Gettleman.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
Quarterback.
Quarterback.
Quarterback. Buzzing around the quarterback.
Yeah.
Are you
software?
You're a lot like. All right. Say if Gettleman got fired and Shermer stayed, would you get more upset at that or the way it happened with Gettleman staying and Shermer going? Obviously, you wanted both of them gone, but what pissed you off more? That Gettleman's still here? Or if
I think, listen, and it kind of sucks. It's like almost the same thing with Fizdale. Like, I think Fizdale's a really nice person, like a really, you know, cool guy. Same thing with Shermer. I thought Shermer's a really nice guy. I think both those coaches were probably the worst coaches for each respective franchise. Like, I think Shermer might have been the worst coach in New York Giants history. And some guys are just, I think, quarterback coaches and offensive coordinators. Like, he might have been okay as the quarterback coach for Daniel Jones, but he was terrible. So it was fine. I thought Gettleman was gonna stay. I didn't expect him to get fired because he did hit on Daniel Jones. You know what I mean? And he definitely hit on Saquon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that those two things saved his ass a little bit, but he's made some boneheaded moves. And the Leonard Williams thing is just strange. That whole press conference, I watched it, and it was bizarre. It was strange. Like, he didn't really say much, but the New York media also attacked him because they didn't really ask any good questions. They didn't ask about like what they're looking for in a head coach. They didn't ask about draft philosophy going forward. Just wanted to attack him. But they brought up the Odell Beckham trade. They brought up like all these things that I think they were waiting to attack him for. But part of that is his fault because he didn't speak to the media for 6 months. Yeah.
Right. Making up for lost time. And
it seems like Gettleman stuck in were you guys rebuilding or being contenders? Because if you were rebuilding, why are you bringing back Eli, drafting a quarterback, and, you know, he's getting paid $25 million, Golden Tate, a lot of the stuff he did, like trading for Leonard Williams when you have no shot at the playoffs and giving up draft picks for that? Like, what are you doing? Only like a contender would do that, not a team that's rebuilding. He just does a very different thing. It doesn't make much sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, and Leonard Williams, like, if he, like, secretly, he was like, oh, this kid, I see potential in him, he's going to be good, he's just on the wrong team, and we can fix him. He was a free agent at the end of the year. Why didn't you assign him? Why do you have to give up two picks? And our picks are very high. They're, you know, the third rounder is essentially a late second. You know what I mean?
It
makes sense. I don't know. He's strange. I don't know. He's just a very weird guy. And somebody brought up in the radio, and I was thinking the exact same thing. You got to think like Tish and Mara are watching the press conference, but they got to be like on the edge of their seat. Like, what is this clown going to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he can definitely he can identify talent. I think he's a really good evaluator. He just doesn't know how to put together long-term plans and communicate well. That's his issue.
Yeah.
I think a lot of players from Carolina said the same thing, that he doesn't communicate, he's unlikable.
Well, look at
I think he can identify good players though.
Well, look at Ron Rivera. Like, did he even consider the Giants for like a second? Like, he was not even.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, what's the deal there? They probably didn't get along.
You know? I think they got along fine, but that told me something. That was like, okay, I'm gonna go, because I think the Giants situation. But for a head coach, I think the Giants situation is better than any other situation, right? Like, what other vacancy would you rather have? You got the quarterback, you got a running back. They have $90 million in cap space they can just spend. I don't know, but he just went right to Washington.
Yeah, maybe it's not too far from Charlotte.
Very, you know, very good pickup for the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, the Washington
and they got Del Rio.
Professional football team. They're going to get Chase Young. They're in
got to hope
good spot.
Yeah, just got to hope that Haskins is legit.
Yeah,
that has to be the key.
I don't know. It's kind of funny though. I was watching the press conference, and David Gettleman, like, when he came on, and I think it was like 2017, he came on you know, we're going to kick ass. Every day, we're going to come in and kick ass. And we're going to get all these, like, hog mollies. And we're gonna run the ball and rush the pass and do all this stuff. Then I watched yesterday. He looked like a beaten dog. He looked like, you know, he was forced up there, get attacked from every
yeah.
every which way by reporters. And he just, I think he's going to get fired next year. I think he's going to lose the job. I think they were going to, they probably told him, hey, listen, we're going to fire you right now, but well, you know, you got Jones, you have some major free agent misses, you know, so we'll give you this year. But ultimately, if they hire, say, Matt Rhule, I think when they bring him in, they're going to say, hey, listen, if he doesn't sign anybody, then we're going to get rid of him and we'll, you know, you can have say in who is the next coach.
Right.
Who do you, is that who you want as the next coach?
I think no.
Rhule?
Yeah. I think Matt Rhule, the Giants, they've had people in the positions that they're in within the organization for like 30 years, 20 years, 10 years. And I know everyone is like, some people, I was talking to Mike Tully, and he was like, I'm afraid of a college coach. Big up. But it's kind of like what the Giants need, I think. They need to go younger. They need creative thinking. They need someone who can relate to players. Just a different way of doing things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a lot of options. There's still, you have Jones, Barkley, a lot of free agent money. So they're appealing. They're still the Giants, like a top franchise. So
yeah.
They're going to have a lot of interest.
Yeah, they got to move away from like hiring these offensive coordinators that, you know, oh, he's, you know, going to be perfect for the quarterback. And back in the day, it was like, oh, McAdoo is going to fix Eli. You know, Shermer is going to be great for whoever. I think they need more of like a CEO type.
They need a culture, guy. Like Rhule, it sounded like he just turned around that whole program, you know, down in Baylor. You need a guy like
good,
that.
He's good, man. He's been, I remember when he coached at Temple, he turned that program around really quick. Baylor, you know, after that Art Briles, like, that whole scandal with the race.
What was
and
that
stuff.
Scandal? What
it was,
oh, they were, he was having
pretty much the whole,
he turned his head.
The athletic department, yeah, it was crazy.
They were, he had his players raping girls, and he knew about it and didn't do shit. It's horrible.
And it went like above. It went above everyone. It was like athletic director, the president knew. It was a whole big thing. But pretty much, he took away so many scholarships, a ton of sanctions on him. He came in right after, and he look at their a top 10 team already. They're on tonight. He's legit.
Yeah, you want a guy like that.
And he has NFL coaching experience. He's from New York. You can do a lot worse.
Oh, he's from New York?
I wanted the Jets to get him or McCarthy. That didn't happen.
He's a New Yorker guy? He's a New Yorker? Rhule?
Yeah, well, he was born
in New York. He definitely grew up in the tri-state.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was born in the city, actually. He was born in the city. He like spent a little bit of, I think, his childhood here. And then I think like when he was in middle school or something like that, his family,
like Philly,
his parents moved to... No, they moved to like State College where Penn State is. And then he walked on to Penn State.
Okay.
So he coached every position. I would like him. He speaks very well. I mean, I think if they get him, it'll be great. But
he's young, too.
Yeah, that's the guy. That's the guy.
Mid-40s. But if they don't get him and they can't attract these big-name guys, then... You know, essentially, the Giants got to look at everything that they're doing. They're turning into the Browns.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, so, it's going to be interesting where McDaniels ends up or prefers. Does he prefer the Giants? Does he prefer Cleveland?
Or does he still want to hold on to that, you know, have hope for that Pats job? You know, him or Belichick's son got to be both both waiting for that shit. You know, they're going to wait it out until Big Billy.
Belichick's son, he looks like Joe Dirt.
And he talks just like him. He talks just like him, too. Like, just like Bill.
Yeah.
Like, just like his dad. It's so funny.
It's so funny.
But real quick on Belichick. We've all seen The Art of Coaching now, right? With Belichick and Saban.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, did you guys feel the same way I did after watching that? Just came away like, I don't know. Just didn't Belichick seem kind of lovable and just like likable after that? I don't know. He seemed... No. I can't.
I mean,
yeah.
Well, let's talk about. I mean,
be a cool guy to play for, but I don't know.
I think his coach, he is very demanding. I think his players, he's the type that his players want to run through a wall for him. I think it's the same thing. Like Greg Popovich, he seems like a dick, but really, I think his players love him, and they have what they do is, you know, works. They win. You know?
Yeah, they have a certain sense of humor. Like, you almost have to be inside the organization to really understand him, to really get it, you know?
They don't want to show the media that. They don't want us to see Belichick like that. Like, they want to keep everything,
right,
you know, vaulted. I thought, you know, it was interesting. Actually, I was thinking about it. The other day, I was like, huh, I wonder who are candidates for Hard Knocks. You know, no team in the NFL wants to ever do Hard Knocks.
Right.
So I was thinking, one of the punishments for this whole, like, taping the Bengals,
okay,
they should put the Patriots on Hard Knocks.
I love that idea.
He would probably quit.
I could picture him just ripping all the cameras apart, like, in the middle of the night and not cooperating at all.
He wouldn't be on the show.
He would set up a secret, like, practice facility and not even show up to the one where HBO's at. He would make it visible for HBO.
That's amazing.
So bad for them.
That's amazing.
But, you know, yeah, they have the rule about that. I think you have to, you can't be on the show if you have a new coach. You don't have to do the show if you've been on in 10 years. And if you've made the playoffs within the last 2 years, you don't have to do it. So that eliminates, I was looking at it, it eliminates, I think, everybody except for maybe four or five teams. I think the Jets actually qualify, so the Jets could be there.
Oh, God.
Yeah, but how do you go from Rex to Gase? I mean, that's like, ugh, that's day and night, you know what I mean?
Because you guys really, convince me why Gase is bad, because everyone hates Gase, but
because he has like this dark cloud, he has this dark cloud around him. It's always the woe is me. Everything is negative. Like, if you're a leader, you should be like unifying.
And he's young. And he's young too. I don't get why he's such a fucking like prick. Like, I don't understand
it. He's always alienating players in the media, through the media. Like, even just the Le'Veon Bell conference. What was that, yesterday or 2 days ago?
Yeah, that was
bad. The stuff with the Nunwa, Osemele, the players, like, finding them. I'm like, where's the miscommunication? And this goes all the way back. This happened in Miami all the time. He was going to trade the top. Look what happens when Devontae Parker, Kenyon Drake, and Tannehill got away from Adam Gase. These guys are putting up Pro Bowl, All-Pro numbers.
Right.
About him.
Right.
He wanted to get rid of all of them. Why?
Right.
Now he doesn't use Bell. Like, come on.
Yeah, the whole thing with Bell is really bizarre. How, you know, who came on first? Was Bell signed first or Gase brought on first? It was Gase, right? And then Bell was signed,
I think Bell was.
Well, McCagan was still here. He was desperate to just get big names.
Big names, yeah, yeah.
So he was going after like Barr, Mosley, throwing a ton of money at those two, Bell. So he was doing whatever, and yeah, Gase was just—he never wanted him there.
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. And then obviously, you know, Bell responded on Twitter with the Steve Carell from The Office, just kind of puzzled face GIF to Gase's presser, talking, you know, kind of just what did he say exactly? Or he basically was just like, we'll let you know, Joe Douglas handle that whole situation and whatever.
Like,
just kind of deferring.
Do you anticipate him being here?
Oh, right.
All he has to say is, of course. He's under contract.
He's under contract.
Top running back. We want him here. That's it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's just unnecessary.
He's an asshole about that. And you know what? We're not. The media and the fans, they're not idiots. Like, we don't think that any GM, whether it be Joe Douglas or David Gettleman, they don't, before they're like scouting players or making picks in the draft or signing free agents, that they don't talk to the coach. It's not like, oh, we signed these players, now go coach them.
I know. Well, that was the disconnect probably between with McCagnan and the rest of the team. You know, that probably harks, you know, back to that. that whole fucking disaster. So, you know, the mountain has a lot of work to do with all that. But let's stay on the Gase thing, the whole Manish Mehta, Adam Gase fiasco, which is one of the more bizarre things. Well, actually, I don't know. This has become like a trend, right, in sports. You know, first it was Colangelo, and then Durant with the burner account thing. What is up with that?
Yeah. Sensitive people, man. It's crazy.
Yeah.
All these dudes, you would think they have like their skin is made out of leather. They're the same as everyone.
Yeah. So Manish,
that's taking it too far. I don't know what his motive is though. I don't understand.
Well, Manish always has a motive. So supposedly McKagan, I guess, was one of his sources inside the franchise. So when he got fired, you know, he was. I don't know what happened. Something switched because he was loving the Gase hire. You know, there's articles that you know that he wrote. You know, saying it's a great hire, this and that. And then something flipped. Gase maybe wasn't giving him the attention he wanted. I don't know what it was. So I guess what Manish decides to do is create a burner called Wyatt V18, which Wyatt I found out after the fact is Gase's son, which makes it even more kind of like creepy. And by accident, tweets out an article. Well, first, no, accuses Gase of that being his burner account, right? Because he asked
and
him.
And then Gase is like, no. He's like, no, do you?
Yeah. Yeah. He asked him if he had Twitter. He's like, no, do you? Basically accusing him of having Wyatt V18 as his burner. And then by accident, Manish tweets out one of his articles from the Wyatt V18 handle and then immediately deletes it. It's too late. And now every time he says anything on Twitter, all the comments are, "Hey Wyatt, what's up Wyatt?" Like, and this is going to be moving forward. This is going to be the thing. I mean, he would have been fired already, so clearly it's not happening.
Yeah,
which is
it's so
pathetic.
Funny because if it's not true, it sucks for him because every comment is going to be Wyatt.
Yep, it already.
All the time.
Yep.
For as long as he's like, I think someone put a comment under. They're like. Ranger fans have been chanting "Pot Fan Sucks" for 40 years. He's like, "That's gonna be you."
Yeah,
he's like, "It's never gonna stop."
Yep, yep.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised he didn't get fired. To be honest, because like, if the Sixers can fire Colangelo, then you know, like we all have Twitter. We follow. Like, if you're a Jets or Giants fan, you follow all the beat writers. Some people we follow, even though they're not credentialed, because they put out. Good stuff. So the Jets can easily get, or the New York Daily News can get another beat writer. They don't need Manish to do everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
I don't know. Who's his boss? Lupica? Is Lupica still connected to Daily News? Is that Manish's boss?
Yeah. No, he got fired. No.
Lupica got fired.
Like a while ago.
Oh wow.
Yeah, I think so. Because the Daily News had a huge. They laid off.
They cut so many people.
Okay.
Isola got cut. Lupica got cut, I think.
Right, so. right. Well, it's he might be the most hated beat writer in sports right now. I mean, not like we follow other teams and their beat writers, but
he's always been a douche. He's just been like such a
shit
starter for no reason.
For no reason. Yeah.
Clearly has an agenda with everything.
Everything.
With a lot of stuff.
Is,
so.
Is Jace on the hot seat?
Of course.
I think because mostly too, the fan, I think ownership knows that the fans do not like him at all. Like,
oh yeah,
the majority of fans do not want to deal with him at all. They're aware of that. I'm sure when they're making taking renewals, people are telling them, "No, I'm not renewing until you get rid of Gates." I'm sure that happens a lot. So their schedule is so hard.
He's on thin ice.
Wild how much. Ownership reads everything. I didn't realize that. Like, they block out, but they read everything. Uh-huh. And the second, I think, like, was it Monday morning, Shermer got fired from the Giants. They released a letter to all of the season ticket holders. And the first line of it was, "We have relieved Pat Shermer." So I think, they really appeal to the season ticket holders. A lot of teams, they have... like a certain like unit of the franchise, they get every article, every tweet, and they give it to the owners, showing all the information. I think they showed it on Hard Knocks. Remember Tony? They gave it to the guy. Gave it to Woody Johnson. He's like, "Here's all of today's
articles mentioning the Jets.
Right.
And it was like just stacks and stacks of stuff. And Woody was like, that's today? Oh, my God.
So
they're aware of everything.
So Dolan...
Do they care? A lot of time, no. But, so, yeah, they're aware.
So Dolan sees everything that goes on Twitter?
I don't know if Dolan lets you...
I don't know if Dolan does.
Like, no. No, probably not.
He probably does not want to see that shit. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Yeah. Let's stick with the Jets for now. So, yeah, I mean, also, you know, Gase wasn't Joe Douglas's guy. So I think, you know, I've been saying this. If the Jets start, you know, 1-7 again, he'll be gone. For sure, he'll be gone. You know, mid-season type deal, you know what I mean? And then they'll just have, what's-his-face? Yeah. They'll just have D-coordinator Greg Williams be...
who's been phenomenal?
Who's been great?
He's a real head coach. He's the guy who won the game.
He'll be the interim for the rest of the season, and then we'll see who's available. You know, this time next year. But Gase, you know, unfortunately, he'll be back. But I think it does say something for them to start 1-7 and then to go 6-2. The players didn't quit on him, is what I'm saying. You know.
I thought they were going to go 2-14. To be honest, I thought they were going to quit for a guy like Gase. But yeah, how much is that though? The defense for Will? I don't know. But you know, you can't dispute that they did go 6-2. So
yeah, and they wouldn't have made the play. You know, like I keep saying, like oh that Bengals game, oh this, they would have got killed by the Ravens regardless, and
regardless,
and you know they wouldn't have made the playoffs. But
yeah.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what's going on with that. We'll get more into the draft, but just looking at it right now, who's the favorite for the Giants? Who's the favorite for the Jets in this year's you know, NFL draft?
So I think the draft philosophy is always for the Giants, best player available.
Jets too, yeah.
But I don't think that the best player available might be the cornerback from Ohio State. I can't pronounce his name, so I'm not going to pretend my guy. I know how to. But
Cucamonga.
The Giants secondary is all young guys. Unless Darrell Revis, I think they're going to try to protect Daniel Jones and take a tackle. The tackle from Georgia, right?
Yeah.
Andrew Thomas? Something Thomas, yeah.
Yeah, there's a bunch of tackles. So I mean,
because at the end of the year, Daniel Jones, he's definitely got a problem with protecting the ball. He's got to work on that. But he was taking some hard hit. Brutal shot.
Yeah.
So I think they got to keep him clean.
Yeah. I think both teams could use offensive line help badly. I think that was the weakest parts of each team. And I think... You know, I know there's some stud wide receivers. Jets can use a number one receiver, especially if Robbie Anderson's going to be gone, and who knows with Quincy Enunwa. But, you know, Joe Douglas, the GM for the Jets, he is a former offensive lineman. So I think they're going to go that way, to be honest. And I wouldn't mind it, obviously. So, but we still have 4 months.
It seems like they have 2 second round picks, right? And number 11 pick, so... Out of those three, I bet 2 will be offensive tackle and 1 wide receiver. I don't know which order, but that will be what they take.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny.
He knows what they have to do.
Yeah.
When the Jets, the year that the Jets got DeBrickashaw Ferguson, I think
DeBrickashaw!
The brick.
The fans, I don't think the fans loved it. And he was like, you know,
he's awesome.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, it was great.
No, I loved it.
I think whenever teams go offensive lineman, like doesn't
it's kind of boring,
boring, but
yeah,
boring is good in football. So I think that year they got DeBrickashaw and Mangold, and those guys are on
Mangold.
The line Pro Bowlers for a decade, and it made the team legit. So
I'm all about those positions that like you don't have to worry about for years to come.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? Exactly. Those guys
are like. People always hate on the guards, drafting guards, but they end up being on your team for like 10-12 years.
Yeah, those.
Yeah, they don't miss games unless it's a catastrophic season. That's tough as hell.
Yeah, Brickashaw and Ferguson, those guys are first team all Jets all time, right? Didn't they make the all time
Jets? Did Brickishaw and Ferguson?
No, I said Mangold. And Mangold. yeah. They made that list, right? All time Jets or something.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously.
Definitely. They'll be I don't know, they're not Hall of Famers or not. I mean Mangold could be.
Mangold could be
for like a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, they were key parts of those teams.
Anywho.
Should we get into the wild card weekend?
Sure.
Yeah. All right, let's start with Texans, -3.5. Bringing in, hosting the Bills.
Buffalo.
So, yeah, that should be a good one. I really don't know. I'd say go Bills on that one, you know.
Straight up, or with the spread?
With the spread, for sure. But straight up, yeah. Actually, I don't know. Deshaun Watson. That's gonna be tough. Because they didn't play each other this year, right? Texans and Bills. I don't think they did.
I don't think so. The only thing with Texans that scares me, they do give up a lot of hits to the quarterback, and Buffalo will come after you.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a good close game. I don't trust Allen in a playoff game if he has to lead a drive throwing the ball like under 2 minutes left or something like that. It's not that type of team or quarterback.
No.
But I like Buffalo a lot. I think they're really, really well coached.
They are.
I feel like every year, Houston is hosting the 4:30 game on the Saturday.
Yes. They are.
Yes.
They are. I was about to say that. You took it out.
I'm going to go Bill.
Yeah. Yeah, I think good for Buffalo, good for the Bills Mafia. You know, they're not going to go all the way, but
Buffalo.
it's nice to you know see their team. I don't hate the Bills, you know.
I also think in that dome, Houston is not scary. That's not a scary place to play.
No,
intimidating.
No, so I think it'll be close. But I think the Bills will win the game. And then the night game.
I'm rooting for Buffalo.
Yeah, like me too. And then we got Pats hosting the Titans. Titans getting 4.5. Now Vrabel comes back to play his old team. And what were you gonna say?
I feel like everyone is gonna be on
the Titans.
Tennessee.
Oh yeah.
Big time.
Which
makes me want to take New England. But Tennessee is legit, man. Good defense, good offense. They won't beat themselves. I don't know what's up with New England. I can see them flipping a switch, and then Brady turns back into MVP Brady when he's like 28 years old.
Right.
Or they just go out with a whimper, and they score 10 points. I have no idea what to expect from them.
Yeah, I don't...
This matchup is really interesting for the fact that there's a lot of New England ties in Tennessee. I think, so you got Vrabel there. They have a few players from
Deion the Patriots. Lewis.
Yeah. And then you got, I heard that the Patriots, like the director of scouting, is now the GM in Tennessee. So there's a lot of
connections.
Yeah. Interesting connections. But I think it's a really bad matchup for the Patriots. I think they're just going to run the ball with Derrick Henry a lot.
Yeah.
Wear out that defense.
Derrick Henry's very...
And I think,
keep going.
It's going to be a close game. The Pats don't blow out anyone anymore.
They don't.
They win pretty low scoring with defense and grind it out. They're not going to put up... I don't see them putting up 30-plus points, especially in a cold weather.
It seems like there's always this random play that the Patriots... Like a trick play that they've been saving all season to use that like fails.
I still can't believe they lost to Miami Dolphins with a chance to get a home game.
Oh, I know. It's like they weren't even trying. It was weird, you know.
Weird.
Yeah. Especially because
I think that they just don't have the talent this year. Edelman is definitely hurt or something's wrong with him. He's kind of washed.
Sanu's been bad.
They just don't have the talent on offense.
Yeah.
Do you think if they lose, do you think this is it for Brady retiring or Belichick?
There's a lot of people been hinting at it. I know incarcerated Bob, a couple other insiders. They're like, big up, big up,
going to be a ton of changes this year in New England, from McDaniels to, I guess, the GM, what's his name, Casario, to Brady.
Yep.
There's going to be a lot going on.
Yeah.
A lot.
It's going to be interesting. Maybe that's why.
Call me.
What's that?
I'll take the Titans. Okay. Yeah, me too. 4.5, sure.
Yeah. Well, I'll take them. I would take them to cover, but I kind of think it's like business as usual for the Pats. You know, like they were taking it easy all year, and now they're going to turn it on.
Yeah,
you know, they fooled us many times before.
Yep.
You know. All right.
Unfortunately. Yeah.
Next game, Saints hosting the Vikings. Saints by seven and a half.
Game.
7.5. You know,
give me Minnesota.
Yeah, they always play tight games. So especially if it was 6.5, maybe I'd go Saints. But 7.5, yeah, you gotta go Vikes all day. Not like I have
a playoff game. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I'll disagree. I think the Saints been a blowout.
Oofa, really?
They have been blowing out teams.
The Saints are really good.
Yeah, they have been blowing out teams. What's the deal with, like, AB? AB was, like...
Nothing.
But, like, they signed Tim White, or they signed some other receiver instead of AB. Like, why was he there?
Because he would... I don't know. He would go on the commissioner's exempt list anyway if they signed him, so... Who knows what it was for? I don't know.
I already came in for a workout, and he came in with his whole, like... entourage of people, a camera crew, and all this like crazy stuff, and then he videotapes like the contract that you have to sign, saying that you're coming in for a workout, and then if they like you, they can sign you or whatnot. I don't know, why would the Saints want to deal with any of this mess?
Well, that's probably why. That explains it.
Idiot too. All the stuff that he's tweeting and dumb stuff, like making these weird videos. He's not like a 25-year-old anymore where he has a lot more years left. I think he's like 31 or 32.
Right.
I think all of
them. He'll be better. There's no doubt.
Get a huge contract in the XFL. Yeah, I can see that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I could definitely see that.
But the Saints don't need it. They don't need him anyway.
No.
They have 10 guys guarding Michael Thomas. You can still throw to him and... Still catch the ball, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, they got plenty of weapons. They're a good team. They're going into the playoffs real hot right now. And Vikings, I really don't know what they are, to be honest with you. They had some head scratching losses this year.
They're legit. That defense is awesome. They have a lot of weapons, but I don't know. Kirk in a big game. Yeah, I'm not relying on him.
No. Plus, Saints want revenge on the Vikings. For that crazy game a few years ago. Remember that?
Oh, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Two years ago,
yeah.
2 years ago.
Yeah.
I think.
The Rams.
I'm going to go Saints in a big blowout. That place, New Orleans, is going to be nuts.
Yeah, I just talked myself into it. I say Saints, too, in a pretty convincing win. So.
Okay.
And then the final game, Seahawks hosting the Eagles. 1.5.
Oof.
Yeah.
Wait, no. The Eagles are hosting Seattle.
Oh, they are?
Correct.
Because they won the division. Yeah.
Teams in Philly.
Oh, shit. You're right.
In Philly.
In Philly. Yeah. Foley.
That's why last Sunday night's game was so important for the Seahawks.
Right. They missed it by inches. Jeez.
Yeah.
They always seem to miss it by inches.
Wouldn't they have been the one or two seed, right? If they won that game,
they would have been the two seed. Green Bay would have been one. But
Green Bay would have been one, yeah.
Like just farting in the red zone every single time. Like that delay of game when they could have just ran the ball.
Yeah,
the clock ran out, and I don't know. He gets there and he just like shits his pants every time.
Yeah,
he's such a good coach, but yeah, he does some weird shit too.
He definitely does. I say. I don't know, Eagles, they surprised some people in the playoffs.
They're just so banged up.
That's the problem.
All their team is injured.
But that Boston Scott,
Seattle, though, too.
Yeah, Seattle's banged up, too. Carson's hurt, right?
They're playing The Eagles are playing with guys that they like got at the supermarket or pulled out of the parking lot. I swear, that guy, Boston Scott.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not a real guy.
There's no way this guy's a real person. He's not. He's like a generated, like, I don't know what the hell.
He's pretty real.
He's dirty.
He hit us with the N64 freaking Madden spin move.
Yeah, I know.
he's a freaking hologram or something. So what was that?
He was amazing.
I don't know. He looked like Barry Sanders out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to say, I like the Eagles. I think they're hot right now. Wentz is playing great, too.
Yeah.
E-A-G-L-E-S.
Yeah. Eagles.
Seattle. I'm going to go with.
Yeah, we may see some Russell Wilson magic.
I can't bet against Russ. He's the man.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to see Seattle win. I hate the Eagles so much.
Two really corny quarterbacks going up against each other here. So that should be fun.
Wilson. Yeah. Corny, but still, I mean.
Yeah.
Sierra,
yeah.
I need a Yankee. I mean, he's a Yankee and he's married to Sierra. I need the court. He's pretty, you know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, he is a Yankee. That is true. All right, so that's wild card weekend. What else were we going to get into? Jump into NBA.
Melo
returns to the Garden.
Tonight or tomorrow?
Tonight.
Oh, tonight? New Year's Day? Wow.
Yeah. He was probably out at, you know, out clubbing last night with Lala and the crew, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure he still has a place. I'm sure he still has a place in New York. Well, let's get into that real quick.
She lives here, no?
Probably. I'm sure he still has a place here, but let's get into that real quick, the whole training facility fiasco debate that happened the other day, the Bondi article talking about Durant, you know, chose the Nets because of the training facility.
It's definitely an issue, man.
I think it's an issue.
Yeah. I've heard T-Mac say it on The Jump before, too. That player, and this is like a couple of years ago even, that players, you know, don't want to go there because they don't want to, you know, commute up to Westchester, you know, to the suburbs to practice. They want to...
You either have to commute there or live there. And these guys don't want to be living in White Plains.
No.
You know, White Plains is a nice area for us to live, but for
millionaires, you know, they'd rather be in Manhattan. No. Yeah. If you can afford to live in Manhattan, it's great. If you could be like if you're a millionaire, fuck, living in Manhattan, that's awesome. And then being able to just, you know, not have to drive anywhere. You just take, you know, Ubers or taxis, whatever. You know, like look at
I've always said Manhattan's made for millionaires.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, otherwise you're choosing to live in a place that's just like way too overpriced, and you're getting a smaller space on that overpriced property.
Right.
But yeah, like these guys want to party. They want to be in the city. They want to be hanging out. They want to be eating at the fanciest restaurants and you know, surrounded by all that. Doesn't make sense. Like, I don't know. Is it Dolan doesn't want to put a? He doesn't want to have us pay for a space here in the city.
He probably didn't put so much money into it. It's like it's state of the art. It's really nice, but in Tarrytown.
And I've passed by.
It's like imagine having the Knick facility in Orangeburg. It's the same thing.
No, it's the same shit. I mean, I've passed by it a few times. It's right off of the sawmill. And it's like, yeah, you drive through. It's like in the middle of like a tech park, you know, with like a bunch of just like offices and shit. You wouldn't even know the Knicks and Rangers practice.
Yeah.
There's nothing out front promoting that. It's just, you know, there's like a gate and, you know, security to get through. But like I've seen like the Lakers one in El Segundo, like near LAX, and like it says like Lakers on the outside. Like it's cool. And a lot of these training facilities are really cool. I guess the Nets is like really dope. They got like the view of the city and shit, and it's right there in Sunset Park, you know, on the bay.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool. I don't know why they put that in Tarrytown. I don't know the logic behind it. You know, I mean, Westchester Airport, it's not like it's right there. I mean, it is, you know, 10, 15 minutes. But Yeah.
It could be a bunch of stuff. It could be like stolen, the contractor who built it, stolen buddy or who operates it. You know what I mean? There's probably some
inside
something
shit
like that involved too, because it makes no sense for them not to have a facility in just, even if it was in uptown. Like, there's places to do it. It would make, I think it would make a huge difference.
Well, look at like the Lifetime Fitness, where like Brickley holds his workouts. How perfect would that be? It's on 42nd and like 11th, so it's really close to the Garden. That'd be like a perfect location for them to have something like that, and then the players can live in the city. And I don't know, maybe they did it on purpose because they didn't want the players like living in the city, partying in the city, you know, getting in trouble and shit.
That's part of it, I think. Yeah. That's definitely part of it.
But yeah, I mean, if this is keeping players from coming there, that's...
If they want to party, they're going to party regardless, so just let them live in the city.
Right. But Melo, I mean...
The thing is, the article, though, that Bondi put out, I think it was Bondi, it's just stupid, though. If I'm James Dolan, and I'm going to pay a free agent anywhere from, like, $200 million to come play for the Knicks, the way they practice is an afterthought. That player is thinking, I'm coming to New York City, I'm going to play for, you know, the Knicks, and I'm going to make $200 million. They're not thinking about the practice facility.
But say, whatever it is. I'm just saying, Juice, as an example, say you have, you live downtown, you've got, like, Amar, I think he lives in the Village.
Yeah.
They have shoot around at 9 a.m., right? Instead of going, you know, a few blocks around and taking whatever to go midtown, you have to drive. You have to leave probably what, 7 o'clock.
I get
to
that.
Get to Tarrytown, and then you got to come back. Then you got to come back for a game at the Garden. So
it's annoying. Yeah.
But at the same time, they're professional. Like this is a job. They got to get up and go to work just like any of us. So if I have shoot around,
of course. But they're
well, that's why, you know, we pay you $200 million to come here. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think the Nets, it's like...
Well, the problem is, though, that's fine, but then they're going to compare it to other teams like Brooklyn, where it's in Brooklyn, you can live in Manhattan, boom, you're there in 5 minutes. Or in Brooklyn,
where you can play, you practice and play your home games right there in that borough, and that's it. You don't have to go anywhere, so it's convenient.
And I don't buy the whole Durant, like, that's the main reason, but
no.
It's part of it. It's part of it.
No, there's a ton of reasons there, and you know, I mean, we can get into that too with Kyrie and his mysterious shoulder injury, and you know, it was weird that whole tweet that came out. I don't know who tweeted it, but that he had was it Baratic? I'm not even going to try to pronounce what injury they said he had, but they said it had to do with like mental condition or you remember that a few weeks ago?
For his shoulder.
No, but like that one guy, he tweeted out that like it was something affecting his mental, and you know, there's more to it than just a physical ailment. That you know,
we've always said that though. He's just like he's weird. He's just a strange guy. That's like why the young guys in Boston didn't like playing with him. I don't know. I just don't think he's like one of these teammates that like caters to his, like has him as friends. He's just strange. You know
yeah,
what I, mean?
I think
they don't want to hang with him.
I think he played a little bit, and he had some injuries, and I think he probably is injured, but he's not that injured, and he probably looks at it like, listen, even if I play, we're not gonna win the East. Durant's not coming back this year. I'm just gonna sit out. You know, it's not a big deal. I'm just gonna chill, get better, and then me and KD can come back next year and play. I guarantee you that's like his mental right now.
Yeah, thumbs up. Who knows?
Yeah. Do you guys like him?
They got Dinwiddie, whatever.
Yeah, and Dinwiddie, he's proven to be like an all-star right now. He's been great. He's been solid for them. So they'll be a playoff team, but you know, they're not gonna come out of the East. I think right now the Heat are proving to be the best team in the East. They are they're fun to watch. Them, you know, it's going to be them, the Bucks, Sixers. I think those are the best teams in the East right now. And then the West, it's coming out of LA. It's the Lakers or Clippers. I think no one else is competing with them in the West.
For sure.
Yeah. Where?
I agree.
Yeah, who are the Knicks? You know, Mike Miller. I think he's been great. You know, he's already won the same amount or more games than Fizdale did in 22 games.
I think more.
Yeah,
I think he has five wins.
Yeah,
he's got
5 wins in you know, his first, what was it, 11 or 12 games.
That's embarrassing.
Than Fizdale did in 22 games or whatever. So, no, Mike Miller's proven to be a good coach, and I think he should get a shot with the team. So I'm happy about that. But there are some trades that are going to be made. It sounds like Marcus Morris will definitely be gone. Dennis Smith Jr. will definitely be gone. Maybe Bobby Portis. Do you see a big name coming here? You know, the whole cat thing being monitored. Nah. I mean, it's kind of just, like, laughable at this point. But
I think that cat thing maybe next year. But not right. This year. Or maybe over the summer.
Like over the summer, but, yeah. Like a whole bunch of picks, yeah, and whatnot. Yeah.
Has he even said anything? Has there been like rumblings of him being unhappy or what?
There's been rumblings of it, and they've been losing. And Juice, you even said it on our NBA preview pod that he would probably be traded. So this has kind of been...
Yeah, I think... He's always been a Knicks fan. He grew up a Knicks fan. They're not winning. He's in Minnesota. I think it might happen, but the Knicks don't. I don't think the Knicks have enough pieces right now to make that happen. And I don't know. Is it worth it, like, gutting the entire team for one player? Because you got to think, like, I wouldn't want to trade Mitch or RJ Barrett.
It would have to be Mitch, Dennis Smith Jr., maybe Knox, like three first-round picks. You know, it would just be a fucking haul. You know, I don't want to part with Mitch yet. We actually have like a homegrown like stud on the team.
I'm not trading Mitch or Barrett. Everyone else can get the heck out of here.
Yeah, I'm with you. Even Frank, you know, as much as I love him. But
Dennis Smith Jr., I think, is worthless. Like, I don't even think you can get anything for him back.
Yeah, teams are interested, though. But what's that? You cut off there.
No, I'm saying, I'm with them all. I think it's Mitch, Barrett, and then anyone else, they're available.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see what they do. They're going to be active, supposedly, but they need shooting. Okay. I mean, Reggie Bullock actually is coming back. Is he playing tonight, actually? I wonder. Reggie Bullock?
I think he's active. I doubt if he gets in the game, though.
I mean, I'd love to see him play. I mean, he's a solid player. He's a 40% three-point shooter, I think, for his career, which is something they've been lacking is, like, you know...
Yeah,
consistent three-point shooting. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. And, yeah, I mean, they're only 5 or 5.5 games out of the A spot. Like, I'd like to see them compete and try for the playoffs. And Julius Randle's been playing a lot better under Mike Miller, which is good because I think the last pod we did, we were, like, you know, trashing this guy. He was unwatchable under Fizdale. I mean, taking the ball up half the time. He's been a lot better.
He's been killing it. I guess does Miller run a totally different offense? I would guess, right? So,
yeah, I mean,
he runs an offense.
He runs a offense. It's definitely more spread out.
Yeah, that's true.
And
Fizdale, oh my god.
Yeah, I mean, he had, you know, Randle running the point. I mean, give me a fucking break. So that's been good. Just to wrap this up. Something, you know, since it is the end of the 2010s, I'd like to just, you know, who was the best athlete in each sport this decade?
It's easy.
I mean, that's NBA, easy. We'll agree on. It's LeBron.
Yeah. It's LeBron. I know. Right? Yeah. I think there was somewhere where they were saying Curry. I forget which publication was saying Curry.
Oh, hell no.
But then Tommy Beer, to God. He was putting up LeBron stats next to Curry stats. It's like no competition. LeBron is the best.
He's been doing it for so long.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah, it's no competition. Yeah, NBA's easy. That's LeBron. NFL?
Eli Manning.
NFL.
Nice. Eli.
Oh, man. That's a tough one.
I say either Rodgers or Brady.
Pretty much, are you saying like, are we going by like accomplishments or?
Well, a little bit of both, I guess.
Your level of play or a little bit of both.
I guess a little bit of both. I mean, it's got to be Rodgers or Brady.
Rodgers or Brady, yeah. I would Peyton was kind of washed in the mid-2000s, right?
So right, yeah. Yeah.
He was falling off.
I'd say one of those two.
Yeah, outside of that, running backs come and go quick. Wide receivers, you had, who would we say is the top wide receiver?
Maybe Antonio.
Antonio. Larry Fitz is underrated.
You got Larry Fitz, you got Megatron, you got Julio Jones.
Yep, Julio.
Fitz's numbers go up with anyone, so.
Yeah. But you
yeah, got, for the sake of
for the sake of consistency, I think in winning, I'll Brady.
Yeah, because his stats were still. I mean, didn't he win a few MVPs this decade, too?
Yeah.
He won at least two.
I think Rodgers is more talented. Like, he can do more plays that like Brady wouldn't be able to do. Yeah. But, yeah, the numbers are pretty similar. And the winning puts him over the top. So,
yeah,
unfortunately, Tommy.
Baseball?
Tammy Brady.
Yeah, baseball, you got to go probably Trout, right? The guy every Trout. Year is unbelievable. Trout,
Early 2010, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, I mean, he's been here since the early part of the decade, I think. He's been playing.
Yeah.
You got to go him. I mean, I can't think of anyone else who's put on numbers. I mean, his team hasn't won, but baseball's a little different like that. It's kind of tough.
A-Rod was gone by then.
Yeah. DeGrom, actually. DeGrom.
Big Poppy.
Yeah, Poppy, you can actually maybe. But Poppy was good last decade, too.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. DeGrom, I think the Post had best New York athlete. They voted, like, best New York athlete of the decade. And Jacob DeGrom actually got it. And I kind of was, like, going through each team and all the players. And it makes sense. That's how bad. Yeah. That's how bad, like, New York sports has been, you know, where Jacob DeGrom's the number one athlete of the decade. But here we are.
I thought they may have gone like Lundqvist maybe, but he never won the title. So.
No. And that leads us into hockey. I mean, probably what, Sid the Kid? Crosby or Ovechkin? Probably one of those two.
Ovechkin,
probably.
I go Ovechkin. Yeah. I like Ovechkin.
He's
tougher.
Yeah.
He can fight.
Yeah, and he's funny.
He can drink. Can potty.
He can potty, yeah. You know?
He's a good actor. Well, a lot of commercials. He's funny.
Yeah. Funny teeth.
Yeah, Ovechkin's a god.
The god.
What about ping pong, volleyball?
Sure.
I couldn't name one volleyball player or tennis. I don't know.
Gabriel Reese. No.
Federer, Nadal, Djokovic.
Who was the best golfer?
All those three guys.
Probably. What's his face? Spieth. Jordan Spieth. He was probably the best golfer this decade, right?
Dustin Johnson? Or no?
Rory McIlroy.
McIlroy kind of fell off.
He did fall off. Yeah.
Probably Spieth. He's the most consistent guy. He never had like a bad stretch, really.
Yeah, I go Jordan Spieth with John Daly.
My guy.
The god. Tennis, I'd go, Federer, obviously, Nadal. Serena Williams, you know?
Yeah,
it's a big one.
Probably Serena overall. She's just unbelievable.
Yeah, if we're talking good even track. Just athletes, just in general, men,
she's
women,
way up there.
Yeah, she's pretty pretty dominant. So here's to 2020s and you know Trump being president again and what else is going on?
The roaring 20s. Wow.
the roaring 20s. Yeah. So,
what about Uncut Gems? I didn't see it, but you guys can.
I don't know. Should we wait? Will you go see it? Because I mean, we could do easily like 20 minutes, half hour on that movie. Like I'm.
Yeah, I'll go see it.
Like seriously, do yourself a favor, go see it, and we can review
it online or something.
Yeah, try and watch it because I want the three of us to deep dive on it. It's a perfect God Pod movie.
Illegally.
Yeah.
Is it, like, funny, or is it more drama?
Both. It's both. It's like
I know it's not a comedy, but, I mean, is it very serious, the whole movie?
No. It's the perfect God Pod movie. Let's just put it that way. Like, it's
fun. It's a fun New York movie.
It's a New York classic. Like, it's very New York.
Is it a rewatchable?
Yes. I'd watch it today if I could.
So, okay. It's already better than the Irishman. Nice.
Oh, yeah. Easily. Easily.
Blows it out of the water.
Yeah, blows it out of the water.
Thank God.
And I saw Once Upon a Time in Hollywood today, which is excellent, but I even thought it was better than that.
Really? Wow.
But you know what?
They're going to win awards. Everything I've heard, they're going to win awards because I haven't heard one negative thing about it.
Well, it's funny, though. You go on Twitter, and there are a lot of people trashing it, but you look at their profiles, the people who are trashing it, and they're either
From Boston.
Yeah, well, no, not even. They're from, the Midwest or, the West or the South, and they're, young. They don't understand it. You got to be from New York. You got to understand New York to understand the movie. And it's I thought it was amazing, a classic in my opinion. So, see it.
How was Garnett?
He was good. I mean, he's great. He was really good.
Yeah. He's great. Didn't they want Amari first, but he wouldn't cut his dress?
Right. The directors, the Safdies, they're diehard Knicks fans. They mention the Knicks constantly throughout the movie. So, yeah.
Yeah, they were mad that they had to get Garnett. They're like, "Fuck, I don't want this guy. He made us miserable for so long."
Yeah, did he really though? I mean, they did beat him in the playoffs.
Not really,
did beat him in the playoffs. No, he was really good. Everyone was really good. Julia Fox, who was a fox, is a future star. I think she was excellent.
Was her first movie?
Yeah, it was. I think it was.
Oh wow!
Everyone was just really good in it. So do yourself a favor, go see it. And
the guy from ATL is in it too, no?
Yeah.
Atlanta.
Stanfield, is that his name? I'm probably butchering his name. He's good. That guy's in everything.
I forget his name in Atlanta, but yeah,
he's in everything these days. That
he's
guy,
a good actor.
Yeah, he's really good.
Get Out. He was in Get Out.
Yep. So yeah, go see.
Yeah, I'll check it out. See that.
Go see it. I'm going to check out Cody, see if it's on, if it's good quality on there. I'm definitely going to watch it again. So,
I got to check out the Cody. I have it, but do you still update it? Or
I haven't tried it in months. I don't even know how it is now. Because it was good, and it was it got really bad, and then it was good again. So, I don't know.
I try to watch the...
What's up?
Hello?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I tried to watch The Joker on it, but it was Chinese subtitles, and they kept on advertising a gambling casino in Shanghai or something. I was like, "What's going on?"
I've watched a couple movies with that. I've watched a couple movies. I feel like with that same thing. I just dealt with it.
God,
yeah,
terrible.
Yeah, yeah. But
so, Juice, did you get the Chinese food today? No Chinese food. I got a half marathon in 2 months. I got to train for. I got to get my weight down, and right now I can't even probably run 3 miles. So 13 is going to be a challenge.
You could do it, Juice. Just take it slow. Go slower than the pace you usually go at, and you'll find that that's perfect for training.
All right. Yeah.
That's my running tip. Josh. That's my running tip of the day.
Got it. Noted. And Bono, make sure you get recommendations for shoes from Tom. He knows the good sneakers.
Yeah, for sure. So, all
right, Jerry.
Well, all right, we gotta go, guys.
There's only one thing left to say.
That's in the back.
I think there's only one thing left to say, and it's
go Tigers.
Go Tigers. Take care, call me here.
You're welcome. You're welcome.